Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. I want you to take a little moment. We don't do this very often, but I want you to take just a few seconds and greet somebody sitting next to you. Would you do that, please? Tell them Happy New Year. Tell them your name. For those who are watching us online, we welcome you again and Happy New Year. For those who are watching us in France, in Mauritius, and in many other French-speaking countries, bonne année is how you would say it in French. So wishing all those people a Happy New Year 2022. Can you believe it? This is kind of like, I'm still remembering 2021's message, and I'm still remembering some of the stuff that we went through as a church, as a nation, and everything else. I still remember those things, but here we are. We've crossed over one more time, and those songs, Ursula, that you picked are ever so perfect. We can see God's faithfulness throughout the entire journey from 2020 all the way till now. We could see God's faithfulness. I don't know if you're here brand new to Oceans United or you've been here many times before, but I want to tell you something, that God has a plan for your life. And you are not here today by accident. God's got a divine appointment for you this morning, and you've made the right choice by being in church on the first Sunday of the year. I think that there's something symbolic and something very spiritual about putting God first. When you put God first, guess what? He blesses the rest. When you give Him anything, when you give Him first, He blesses the first fruits of anything that you do, including your tithes, your offering, your time, your talent. Everything, when God is first, the rest is blessed. Amen. Could you give me a little bit more light? I don't know if I'm getting a little bit older in 2022, but my eyes are needing a little bit more adjusting. Oh, yeah, that's perfect. And yeah, I needed that, you know. The reason why I know God has got a plan for you, for your life, is because God knows it. I know because God knows. And He doesn't just know it, He declares it. You know, it's not like God has got a plan for your life and he wants to hide it from you. A lot of times we view God like this, that I know He's got a plan, but He's not letting me in on it. He knows what is good for me, but He's not telling me. The Word of God in Jeremiah 29:11 says this: I know the plans that I have for you. There's one thing about you and me knowing something. It's quite a different thing when God says He knows. When God says He knows, He means that He guarantees it. He can back it up. He can back up the plans that He has for your life. That is why I say you're not here by accident. Because He's got a perfect plan for you to be here on January 2nd, 2022. You are fitting in perfectly well in God's perfect plan for your life. And He says, the plans are for good and not for disaster. See, He's a good God. He's got nothing but good things in store for you. In fact, when we say we've crossed over, we've crossed over from 2021 to 2022, he's gone ahead of us because he's a good God. He's preparing the way, taking out the rough edges, those that will destroy us, those that would harm us, because he's a good God. He says, the plans that I have for you are for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. We need to know that we serve a God that has a future for our lives. Not a God that is stuck in the past, but a God that is seeing ahead. He's seeing beyond 2022. He's seeing what 2022 would bring in our life today, starting today and onwards. And he's preparing a way for you and for me to navigate through 2022 with hope. And knowing that we have a future at the end of 2022 as we enter into 2023. That's a God that sees ahead. A God that sees ahead and makes a way where sometime where we look at our own lives and we see the impossibilities. We see the harm that the enemy can do. But God says, you are an overcomer. And I've gone ahead of you. I've given you my blood when we took communion. That's the guarantee of God's safe passage. Safe passage. Remember when in the book of Exodus, when the blood of the lamb was put on the doorpost of their lives. That same blood is the blood of the perfect lamb, the Lamb of God. And the doorpost is right here. That guarantees us safe passage, where no harm, no evil will come near us, where no weapon formed against us will prosper because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's a God that sees ahead and declares that our future is full of hope. Now, Jeremiah 29:11 is a powerful, powerful word. A powerful scripture that we can hold on to. But it begs one question. And the question is, would you move forward with God's plan? Because he has a plan for you and for me. But the question is, would you move forward with it? Because we have a choice. We have a choice in God's plan. Do we accept it? Do we want to move forward with it? That word, moving forward, remain a resounding word in my spirit for the past few days. Every time when I'm seeking God about something, about our church, about our family, I keep hearing those words. Move forward. Move forward. So I would say this would be the theme. This would be the theme for us in 2022. Let's move forward. Let's move forward knowing that God has got a plan for us. He says so. I know the plans that I have for you. He knows the plan. He guarantees it. He can back it up. He's saying, I know the plans that I have for you. And moving forward is us saying, yes, we accept those plans, Lord. We submit and we surrender to your plans and we are ready to move forward with it. And moving forward with God's plan is also saying, I'm willing. I'm willing to take back what the enemy has stolen from me. That's a stand against the enemy. When we're saying, I'm moving forward, but I'm ready to get back what the enemy has stolen from me. Everybody's survived 2020. We've survived 2021, and believe me, there's been many challenges that you and I, we've faced in those 2 years. Many challenges that we faced as a family unit. We faced so many challenges as a family unit of a church, and yet again, we are here. We made it. We made it. But now it's time not just to make it. It's time to go back and get back what the enemy has stolen from us. Be it peace in our life, it's time to get it back. Be it joy in our life, it's time to get it back. Be it our health, it's time to get it back. Whatever destruction that the enemy has broken, has brought into our families, in our lives, in those past 2 years, we're not just going to move forward and forget about it. We're going to serve the enemy a notice. Amen. That we're coming back. And we're getting everything that he's stolen from us. Would you agree with that? Would that be a good thing as we're moving forward? It's not just to forget. Because we can easily forget what the enemy has stolen. And say, okay, you know what? That's okay. Let him have it. No. No. We cannot let the enemy have what is rightfully ours. It's time when we move forward, we start thinking about those things, those challenges that we might have faced in 2021 and 2020, that perhaps we've failed, we've seen failures, we've seen defeat, but now it's time to go back and restore victory. Victory back into our marriages. Victory back in our finances. Victory back in our church. It's time to move forward and bring forth again the vision that God has given to us. Amen. There's a vision that God has for us, for you as a head of your house. For us as a church, for me as a pastor. There's a certain vision, there's a certain mandate, there's a certain call that God has for us that if we lose sight of it, the enemy will come and disturb everything. Disturb our focus, bringing a spirit of division instead of unity. Unity is something that we must fight for. We cannot just sit back and wait for things to fall into place. I wish it was like that. But it's not. Unity is something that you must fight for. And I believe in 2022, as we move forward, we're going to take a stand against the enemy. And we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. There was a time in King David's life when God challenged him to move forward. God challenged him to move forward by standing against the enemy. And we can read about this in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5, starting with verse 1. This chapter here talks about A great chapter in the story of David. This is the coronation of a king. It's a beautiful story where you read the coronation of the king, but if you read it too fast, you might forget. You might miss the challenges that he faced. You might just see the crown and you forget the thorns that he had to bear. But if you slow down a little bit, and you read it with attention, you allow the Holy Spirit to dig into these verses and bring them to life, you're going to see the hand of God. You're going to see what God can do when you move forward with him. When you serve the enemy a notice that you are not going to let him have your family. When you're not going to let him have your calling, your anointing. In verse 1 he says, then all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, we are your own flesh and blood. In the past when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you, you will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You will be Israel's leader. So there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel. And they anointed him king of Israel. In verse 4 it says, David was 30 years old when he began to reign. and he reigned 40 years in all. Now, would you agree with me that King David, it was all along God's plan for King David to be the king over all of Israel? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, he was 17 years old when he was anointed as king. You remember that? You remember the story when he was anointed by Prophet Samuel? Prophet Samuel was looking for a king because at that time King Saul totally moved away from God. So God anointed David as the king of Israel. So Prophet Samuel went and found David and anointed him as king of Israel. He was 17 years old. But here we're reading the story. David is no longer 17. David is not 17. David is 30 years old. That was a divine delay. A divine delay. A divine delay of 13 years. Now the question is, why does God allow those divine delays? Why does God allow those divine delays in our lives? I'm sure we've all experienced some kind of divine delay between what God has said before we see what he can do. Before what God says and the performance of what he said. There's always a divine delay. But why does God allow those divine delays? Especially when we know that we've been anointed to do something. That's something else, right? When we know we've been anointed to do something. Especially when we know that we've been anointed to wear the crown and somebody else is wearing the crown. Can you handle those kind of divine delay when God is holding back? It seems like he's holding back his promises. And you're waiting upon God and you're saying, Lord, I've been ready. Remember, you anointed me. I believe throughout those 13 years, David went back to God. Lord, you've anointed me. You sent your prophet to anoint me as king. And here I am. I'm waiting. And it's been 13 years. Why does God allow divine delays? The answer is very simple. Movement. God has got so many pieces that he's moving forward. Movement with God is always on an appointed time. A time that he sets aside to do something supernatural. There was an appointed time for David. You see, there's a big difference between being anointed to do something and walking in that anointing. There's a big difference between, yes, you are anointed to do this, and actually walking into this anointing. They're very different. To walk in the anointing of God requires you to move forward. God calls it preparation. See, we know that we are anointed to do something, but there's a time when God calls us to move forward, and he calls it preparation. We don't see it, because in our own knowledge of time, we are looking at the clock. We're like, Lord, it's been 13 years. How much longer? But believe me, David was not prepared to handle the crown at the age of 17. To walk in the anointing requires you to move forward, and God calls it surrender. David had to surrender to the will of God. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. To walk in the anointing requires you to move forward, and God calls it submission. David had to submit to the authority of King Saul. The same is true for you and for me. When God says there's a delay with Him, a divine delay is not a denial. God is not denying you His promises by putting you in His waiting room. When God is delaying something, He's preparing you for something that you might not be able to see now, because all you see now is the crown. But what He's preparing the office to handle the crown. That is going on behind the scenes, but you don't know it. But it's happening. It requires you to move forward in preparation. It requires you to move forward in submission. It requires you to move forward in total surrender to His will and not yours. See, the journey of moving forward with God is not always beautifully wrapped. It's not always a prepackaged deal that you get from God. It comes wrapped in struggles that you must overcome. God's perfect plan for your life comes wrapped in battles that you must fight. It doesn't always come with a beautiful bow on the top that you receive the moment that you think that you are anointed to do something. There's a time where you need to be prepared. There's a time that you need to surrender. There's a time that you need to submit. The question is, would you move forward with God knowing that He has a great plan for you? But the wrapping might be struggles. The wrapping might be battles that you must face. But that's the difference between being anointed to do something, and then walking into this anointing. Let me break it down to something a little bit more practical. I believe I'm anointed to be your pastor. I believe I'm anointed to be your pastor. I believe it. I believe it. But the anointing is not to be just the pastor. It's not just to hold the title of the pastor. The anointing is to occupy the office of the pastor. See, the anointing for David was not to wear the crown, but to occupy the office of the king. At the age of 17, it would have been just a fancy title. Look, I'm wearing a crown. I can tell you to go and do this, and you will do it, because I'm wearing the crown. But the crown comes with a price. And the price that David had to pay was the price of moving forward. Would you move forward knowing that there's going to be somebody after you to kill you, to destroy you? Would you still move forward with it? Would you move forward with God's plan, knowing that the plan is good because He's a good God? He's got a plan that will not bring disaster but hope and a future to you. But yet again, it comes packaged in a battle, in a struggle. Would you still move forward with God's plan? That is the challenge that we wrestle with as Christians. Yes, we want to follow God, but we don't want to pay the price. Yes, we want to serve God, but putting Him first is, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. The bed is so good on Sunday morning. Your anointing is always in what you are called to do. Called to do. There's works involved. The anointing is not just for you to be, but to do. To do. To do means to occupy. To occupy the role of being, you name it. A dad, a mother, a pastor, a preacher. Whatever that is what the anointing is there for. It's not just to hold the title, but to occupy the office of what the title would bring. Many of you coasties, you understand titles. They mean something. They mean something probably more than I know. Because each title comes with a position, a certain territory that you must occupy. Because if you don't occupy that place, guess who comes in? The enemy. If you don't occupy the office of what you've been called to do, the enemy will come in and occupy it for you. If you're not occupying the place of a husband, the enemy will come in and occupy that place for you. This is where David was for those 13 years. Is those seasons that we don't want to handle, we don't want to deal with, but those seasons were critical to the coronation of what we're reading just now in 2 Samuel. Because 2 Samuel is painting a beautiful picture of a coronation of a king, but we don't know the behind the scenes that he had to go through. All we see is just a crown being put on his head, but we don't see the thorns that he had to go through to get to that place of being crowned king of all of Israel. And I'm saying this because it's an important thing here in this story. He was anointed as king of all of Israel, but he was not occupying all of Israel. He was not. The key here is found in verse 5. It says he reigned over Judah. He reigned over Judah from Hebron. That's not Jerusalem, is it? It's a different spot. He reigned over Judah from Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. So there was a clock. Somebody was keeping time. Somebody, thank God. Otherwise, we would not have known how long did he stay there. We wouldn't have known. But somebody was keeping clock. He stayed as a king, anointed as king all over Israel, because he was anointed by the elders as king over all of Israel. But yet again, he reigned only over Judah for 7 years and 6 months. And then from Jerusalem, he reigned all Israel and Judah for 33 years. Now, the backdrop of this very simple scripture is critical. The question is, if you were anointed as king over all of Israel, why then were you just reigning over Judah? Judah, if you study kind of like ancient Israel or biblical perspective, you get a little bit beyond just what we read now in scripture, you'll find out that Judah was the southern kingdom. And then the rest was the northern kingdom. They called the northern kingdom Israel. But they separated the name of Judah as the southern kingdom. And he was only ruling Judah and not all of Israel, not the entire kingdom. Why? Why did David not reign from get-go in Jerusalem? Everybody knows the meaning of Jerusalem. Why, if he was crowned as king, why did he not occupy Jerusalem? You want to know why? If you're not occupying what you're called to do, who will occupy it for you? The enemy. Guess what? Jerusalem was occupied by the enemy, the Jebusite. They've been occupying this territory for many, many hundreds of years. It was not just a brand new thing, but Israel has allowed the enemy to occupy a territory that was meant to be for them. So when the enemy comes in, they settle. They don't move. If you allow the enemy a little bit, you give him an inch inside of your family. Do you think he'll settle for just an inch? No. He's coming to take over. The enemy here occupied the whole entire, and this dates all the way back to Joshua. I mean, that's hundreds of years before. The whole time, the enemy was occupying that place. But on that day, 7 years after the coronation of King David, I believe God brought the plan back to David. We don't see it in scripture, but we don't know much about what went on in David's mind after he was wearing the crown. But we don't know if he struggled with this identity of a king. He's wearing the crown. He's probably happy, right? If you're wearing the crown, then you know that when you were 17 years old, God anointed you as king, and you're finally wearing the crown, would you think that you have arrived? I mean, I would. Man, I mean, I was 17 years old and some dude came and anointed me and said, hey, you're king. I'm just a shepherd. I don't know anything about anything, but somebody came who has authority, who has power, who heard from God, said that I'm anointed to be a king. And here today, I'm wearing this crown. I've arrived. I mean, what else do I need to do? I'm wearing the crown. I can tell this guy to go and clean the trash, and he probably will, because I'm wearing the crown. And I believe David settled. For 7 years and 6 months, he settled, he coasted. I believe that, you know what, hey, we may, everything is good. But then one day, God brought the plans back to him. The same plans that we read in Jeremiah 29:11. I know this is before Jeremiah, but yet again, God's plan was always good from creation. I'm sure that David already knew that God had a plan for his life. And being crowned as king was definitely part of that plan. Because we understand human nature a little bit, right? Human nature was like, you know what, let's just settle right here because it's pretty good. I'm eating good. I used to be in the field. I used to be hunted down. I used to run away and hide in caves. And now I've got people that report into me. And I have a palace of some sort in Hebron. And I've got the southern kingdom. And that should be just good for me. But God reminded him that the enemy was still occupying the land. He's anointed as king, but he's not fully occupying the office of the king. 7 years after his coronation, David decided, you know, enough is enough. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to go after the enemy, and I'm going to make him pay. So he had a revelation. Probably he had a 2020 experience and a 21, 2021 experience for 7 years. And he's like, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm tired of those 2020s and 2021s. It's time for me to move forward and get back what the enemy has stolen. So we read about this in verse 6 through 10. It's kind of like a weird kind of way when you read this. Kind of sometimes we get lost a little bit, but stay with me. It says, David led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusite, the original inhabitants of the land who were living there. Wow. I mean, this is pretty deep. They were the original inhabitants that were living there. Guess what? When Joshua invaded and came over to take the land that was promised, guess what he did? He allowed the enemy to stay in that spot. He compromised with the enemy. Can you compromise with the enemy and allow the enemy to stay in a room in your house? Would you do that? I mean, would you allow anybody that you don't know, but you know this person is the enemy? Would you allow him a room in your house? Probably not. You could be the best Christian that we know. I mean, I'm a pastor of this church, but nobody's coming that I know is not right to stay with my family at home with me. There's no way. This is what Israel did. They allowed a guest to stay when God said, drive them out. How many times do we do this in our own personal lives? Where we compromise a little bit and we allow the enemy to stay in a room in our house. And this is exactly what they did. The Jebusite taunted David, saying, you will never get in there. See, isn't that crazy where the enemy will come and taunt you? Will remind you that you're useless? That's basically what the enemy did. The enemy came and reminded David, taunted him, saying, you will never get in there. Even the blind and the lame could keep you out. This is not just an insult. They are rubbing in insult from the ancestors. The blind is basically Isaac, because Isaac became blind at the end. And the lame is basically Jacob, because he limped. He said, even the blind and the lame could keep you out. It's mocking God's people. Mocking God's people, for the Jebusites thought they were safe. But David captured the fortress of Zion, which is now in the city of David. One day, on the day of the attack, David said to his troops, whoever attacks them should strike by going into the city through the water tunnel. Now, that must have been some kind of like intel from God. So you don't want to go through the gates, you don't want to go over the wall, but you must go under, through the gutter. You must go into the water system, and that's your way in. That was intel from God. That was God's wisdom. So David made the fortress his home, and he called it the City of David. Up to this day, it's called the City of David. It took one man to realize that we've given enough space for the enemy. No more. We're going to get it back. We're going to get it back. And he got it back, and he called it the City of David. He extended the city, starting at the supporting terraces and working inwards. And David became more and more powerful, because the Lord's God of heaven's army was with him. That's a very interesting passage when we read it. But because David made a decision to move forward with God's plan, we have verse 10 that says that David became more and more powerful because the Lord God of heaven's armies was with him. When you decide to move forward and recover what the enemy has stolen from you, heaven will back you up. The Lord God's army will be on your side because you're serving notice to the enemy. You're going and getting back what is rightfully yours. So much, like I said, so much from this passage that is beyond just the coronation of King David. I believe it gives us principles that I'm going to highlight just for you here. Principle that we can apply in our own personal lives. Number one is, when you move forward with vision. You move forward with vision. You move forward with a plan. The vision is God's plan for your life. You move forward with this vision. And when I say vision, I am not talking about your natural ability to see. When I'm talking about vision, I'm talking about you closing your eyes and hearing what God says about you. You not relying on your natural sight, but on your spiritual sight. Sight that you will get when you have communion with the Holy Spirit. Sight that you will get, that intel that you will get from God when you are alone with Him. That's where the vision comes to life. That's where you start understanding your role in that office that you're meant to occupy. Not just the title that you see on your door, but the office that you're meant to occupy as the anointed one that God has called to do whatever He's called you to do. When you rely on the spiritual voice of God in you, you can silence the enemy. You can silence the mockery of the enemy. I believe this is what David did. David said, you know what? We know who we are because God is on our side. Let's just go and get what is rightfully ours. I believe it's time that we say the same thing. We're going to move forward with vision. We're going to move forward with vision, the vision that God has given to us. Maybe it might be disturbed a little bit. Maybe we don't see fully where God is, what God is saying or what God wants to do. But the one thing that we do know is this, that God is on our side. And that's good enough. If we get the vision piece by piece, we play that piece. A puzzle. If you know that piece that you're being handed by God fits right here and that's all you have, you play it. Amen. You play that piece. You don't hold the piece and wait for something else to come. You know that piece fit in, you play it. You play it. You play the piece. And as you play the piece, guess what? The picture of that puzzle becomes clearer. And you play another piece, guess what? It becomes even more evident. You start seeing where God is leading. As you keep playing the pieces, as you are receiving them, you start seeing the greater picture of where God wants to take you. You can't just stop because this piece looks odd. You can't just stop and say, this is kind of like a weird shape, Lord. I don't understand it. I don't know where it fits. When God says you got one piece, you better look because it's going to fit somewhere. Ask yourself the question that this piece, Lord, that you've handed to me, where does it fit? And I want to place this where in your right time, where you want me to place it. Show me. That's where the vision becomes clearer and clearer. The Word of God says that we move by faith and not by sight. We move by faith and not by sight. So we don't need, in vision, we don't need sight. We just need faith. We need to be able to see right here. In the Amplified Version, it says, we move by faith and not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent. Key word there, consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. Let me ask you this question. Are you living your life? Are you living your life based on God's promises? Are you living your life based on what God has said? Or are you living your life in response to what the world is saying? Because all you have to do is just to turn on the news. All you have to do is just to pay attention to something else other than the Word of God. It's easy. Anything that takes you away from what God is saying will rob you of that one piece that God wants you to play. Because if you rely on the world will say that this piece, no matter how odd it looks, will not fit. You better discard it because it will never fit. But the Spirit of God says that this piece, no matter how odd it looks, it's perfect. It will fit at the right place, at the right time, where I need it to go. So the moment you place that, you start seeing a little glimpse of His masterpiece for your life. It's that surrender. It's that aspect of you submitting to God. It's that aspect of you being prepared for the anointing. Big difference between being anointed to do something and walking in the anointing. When you're walking in the anointing, you get handed a piece. And you must play the piece. And as you play the piece, you start seeing God's plan for your life. How you respond will determine how you move. How you respond to God's vision will determine how you move forward. Number two is move forward with wisdom. Did you know that the enemy has a weakness? He has a weakness. And only God's wisdom can reveal it. Only God's wisdom can reveal it. Who would have thought, you know, when you're studying battles and you watch movies and stuff like that, maybe that might be a little bit more evident. But if you imagine this is King David and his men, that they're staring at this wall. They can't penetrate this wall. The Jebusite army, they've been occupying this place for generations. They know the place. They fortified this place. They can't get in. But it took a godly wisdom to expose a weakness of the enemy. The weakness was the water system. You could get in through the gutter. Sometimes to get through the breakthrough that we are desiring in our life, we must go through the gutter. We must go through those dark places that no one else would want to go. But God is saying, if you're moving forward with me, would you go in the gutter? Would you go down in those places where you would think it's impossible for you to go through? But if I'm with you, you can do all things. Would you still go? Would you still move forward? Keep asking for God's wisdom. Because that's the way to expose the enemy's weakness. In James 1:5, he says, if you need godly wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So why not ask? Why not ask a generous God who's not holding back His plans for you and for me? He wants to reveal His plan. He's not holding back wisdom. The problem is very few of us will go and ask, Lord, what you want us to do? Very few of us would might just go and say, you know what, Lord, we have no clue. We have no idea. Show us. That's the way to start. And that's how you get godly wisdom. How you respond to wisdom will determine how you move forward. And then finally is, move forward with praise. Move forward with praise. Let praise and worship be instrumental to everything that you do. When you don't know what to do, praise Him. Start by praising Him. The very first thing that you would do in a tough situation when you have no answers for anything, you don't know where you are heading, put on some praise and worship. Worship Him. Devote time to just be in His presence. Mind you, I'm not saying if you need answers, just open the Bible. Although you should, you would, but don't start there. Start by praising Him. Where you need to go will come after you praise Him. Because believe me, if you're in a terrible situation, you don't know where to start. You don't know where to go. But the Holy Spirit knows. But when you start worshiping Him, praising Him, the Holy Spirit would lead you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Most of the Psalms that David wrote, he wrote them in caves. He wrote them in the darkest times of his life, where he was being hunted down by King Saul. He was running for his life. But yet again, God's faithfulness was there. He was having a 20-20 moment for 13 years, over and over and over again. Everybody abandoned him. All he knew was how to praise God. Psalm 145 says, I will exalt you, my God and King. I praise your name forever and ever. I praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He's most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. When you praise God, your heart will be clear. Your motives would be checked. The motive of wearing the crown will be checked. Are you just wanting to wear the crown for attention? For the sake of a title as king? When you praise God, this would be checked. Is the heart in the right place? See, David was the greatest servant that we know. He served not only his people, but he served God. He worshiped God. His motive was always in check. Lord, search me. Know my heart. Purge me. Cleanse my heart. That was always his prayer. When you praise God, your spirit will be renewed. Your spirit man will come alive. You will be listening to his voice because your spirit man is pointing you towards him. You start hearing his voice clearer and clearer because you're feeding that spirit man. The best way to feed the spirit man is to worship. Would you please stand as we worship? Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. We give you honor. We praise your holy name. And we declare that you are Lord over 2022. That Lord, that you've gone ahead of us. And you've silenced the enemy. And Lord, as we're moving forward with you in 2022, Lord, that we are going in your anointing. In the anointing to do what you've called us to do. We declare that we are victorious over the enemy. That we're going and taking back whatever the enemy has stolen from us. Lord, that we will not allow the enemy to occupy any place in our life. Any place in our heart, any place in our finances, any place in our marriage. Lord, have your way. Lord, we are ready for preparation. We are ready to move forward for preparation. We are ready to move forward with submission. We are ready to move forward in total surrender in whatever you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I bless you, and come back again next week, and I've got an amazing message that ties in with our vision for 2022. God bless.